right. I thought we had several other songs we were wanting to get sung. You want to sing one? You know? No? Anybody here? Any of you fellas here, y'all want to sing? Huh? Don't be shy. If you want to sing, it's a yes or no question. No? All right, well, there you go. We'll just get out of here a little early here. Let me see if I can get this button here turned on. I can't never find it. Is that it there? How's that? That's it. Thank you right much. I appreciate that very much. And so that's good all the way around. All right, don't forget that we're wanting to remember to pray for our country. I mean, it's new into the presidency. And there's a long ways to go, and 4 years will be over before you know it. And then let me tell you right now, that bunch of infidels will be back in there that are anti-God, anti-Bible, anti-everything good, right, moral, and decent. Take your Bible, if you will, the book of Psalm, chapter number 64. In the book of Psalm, in chapter number 64, you find the place you're able to stand. Then we'll look there in about verse number 1. Hear my voice, O God, in my prayer. Preserve my life from fear of the enemy. Hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked and from the insurrection of the workers of iniquity, who whet their tongue like a sword and bend their bows to shoot their arrows, even bitter words, that they may shoot in secret at the perfect, and suddenly do they shoot at him and then fear not. They encourage themselves in the evil matter. They commune of laying snares privately, and they say, who shall see them? They search out iniquities, and they accomplish a diligent search in both inward and the thought of every one of them, and the heart is deep. But God shall shoot at them with an arrow. This is our text verse. But God shall shoot at them with an arrow, and suddenly they shall be wounded. And so they shall make their own tongue to fall upon themselves. This crowd's lying and cheating, and connives alone. They're tripping over their own tongue. And they shall make their own tongue to fall upon themselves, and all that see them shall flee away. And the men shall fear and shall declare the work of God, for they shall wisely consider of his doing. The righteous shall be glad in the Lord and shall trust in him, and all the upright in heart shall glory. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and how we do thank you for it, and how good it is to be in the house of God. Bless, I pray, this word to every heart that's here tonight. And Lord, be with those that could not be. We pray you'd save the lost, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to preach a little while a sermon entitled, That When God Shoots, He Won't Miss. You know, every now and again is that in line, is that you'll find that we've done a lot of hunting together. And there's been a few times in life that I've missed. And all I'm going to tell you right now is I'd rather miss than to wound something and not be able to find it. It makes me sick to be able to do that. But then at the same time, you know, I try to comfort myself in, well, the coyote's got to eat and the buzzard's got to eat and so forth and on and so forth and on. But let me say to you that when we look in this right here, we're not talking about humanity. And though that sometimes humanity is running their mouth and shooting their mouth off, and they don't have a clue what they're talking about. In this lesson that we're looking at, the psalmist has recognized there's a foul presence of the enemy, and they're enemies of God, and they're enemies of the people of God, and they hate the saints of God as much as they hate God himself. This Bible said that when you begin to look into it, that the wicked, they're always taking a cheap shot at the child of God. Did you ever notice some of your lost kin folks do that? When they get a chance to, they're going to try to maybe, slander or throw something cheap out, you know. They'll say something like, well, you know, I ain't got to go to church every Sunday to go to heaven like y'all do. We're not going to church because we want to get us to heaven. We're not trying to go to heaven by going to church. We're going to church because we got saved. God made us fit for heaven. You see what I'm talking about? But they want to do whatever they possibly can. Well, we don't have to give of our money here We don't have to give so much like y'all are having to every week. Is there anybody in this building or anybody that we ever had in this building that you had to give a certain amount to be able to come to church here? No. No, I may preach on and remind you that if you're not tithing, not a giver to missions above your tithe, that you're robbing God and God calls you a thief and God won't bless you driving a car that you paid for with money that belongs to God or living a house. I'm just telling you right now. I'm just telling you what God had to say. But there's no prerequisite. Sometimes people, you know, they'll run their mouth and say things like, well, my clothes are not going to be good enough. I don't know what you're talking about there unless they're talking about that man that I saw in McDonald's. Every now and again, you know, especially whenever the wife and I have to go and to the doctor, and occasionally that we do in our golden years. And so we'll stop by McDonald's. I don't like anything McDonald's has but their breakfast. If you do, that's fine. But I'm just saying to you that the breakfast is about the only thing that I like. And as a result of that, you know, is that when we were going, we stopped in there, and here comes some old man in there, and he was kind of loud, and he was nasty looking, and he was ugly, and he was unkempt, and he had clothes in his he had his clothes on that had holes in the shirt. You can see his old nasty belly button, holes in his knees, and they looked like they'd been crawling around in a stack of cigarettes somewhere and had nicotine all over his knees. It was that kind of color of dirty. And I thought I was looking at the bad side till he got up and turned around. Holes in his britches in the bottom and holes up and down him. And he was kind of loud mouth and this and that. And I just kind of wanted to, I don't know, I wanted to pull off my pants and give it to him, but I knew I was going to the doctor, and the doctor's going to wonder where my britches was. I just want to say to you that, if you will, that in the world that we are living in, you would think that every now and again that you'd run upon somebody somewhere that said, hey, just man, I just need to know how to get out of the situation that I'm in. And I'm not talking about somebody trying to bum you. You know, went to Colorado that time. There was a guy sitting out there. He said, sir, could I get $2 from you? Could I get $2 just to be able to buy me a cup of coffee and one of them little biscuits in here? And so I reached in my pocket and I said, here's $5. And the next day he was sitting right there again. Except this time he had a big old huge dog with him. And I thought to myself, I'll bet you that Jay Byrne has bought marijuana, because you know you can buy it there in Colorado. I didn't know you could buy it in Oklahoma, somebody told me. You know, we may have church members that like a little marijuana every now and again. If you do, that's your problem. May you end up with holes in your clothes one of these days. But the long and short of it was, I'm not real bad about trying to give people like that. And no doubt some of them are worthy of it. And some of them are really on a hard time. And all that business there. And all that business there. And I'm not against every now and again. And I don't. But I mean, I wouldn't be them holding it up and taking a piece of cardboard about this size and need help, you know. And need food, need clothing, need something. I'm not opposed to that. But if you're going to ever have to get to the place you're holding up a sign, try to make it right to where it doesn't look like somebody that just got out of kindergarten wrote it. God bless you. Thank you very much. In the lesson that we're talking about, we're not talking about people like that. We're talking about people that know better, that have their wits about them. We're talking about people that have never lifted their voice unto God. But when's the last time God heard your voice crying out, Lord, I need to talk to you about somebody? Maybe my family member, maybe my mother, daddy, boy, son, a daughter, and all that. And that we're praying for church members. And what God said, lift up my voice and hear my prayer. And let me tell you, there ought to be a time that you and I are wanting to exalt and magnify his name. I can tell you, these cities that have been destroyed and wiped out, Those people out there in California that have been burned out. Those people that certainly all their life's belongings and their place of residence is gone. I guarantee you right now there's some voices like the old black preacher over in Pascagoula, Mississippi said, if they had that hurricane that time and Buddy, it not only knocked over everything and in his path, but you'll find out there were people that were killed. And that old preacher got up that morning and preached on the radio and he said, I want to preach on some voices God never heard before. You're sitting here tonight. I'm sitting here tonight. We all of us look good. I know I look good. I say that on credit, but you look good. But I got to say to you that if you will, make no mistake about it, we ought not just be letting God hear our voice in a crisis or in a time when we're sick. I tell you what we ought to be doing is we ought to be every day like they're singing. We ought to be thanking him for the goodness of God that led and brought us to a place of repentance. In this lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out the psalmist has recognized there's an evilness out there that's lurking. And let me tell you right now is the wicked are always taking a cheap shot about God and about the people of God and the things of God. Don't lose your place, but look over there in 2 Thessalonians, I believe it is, in chapter 1. And I'll give you a moment to find that. In 2 Thessalonians, and it's in about chapter number 1. I may have a ribbon here in it. Yes, I do. I want you to look, if you will, please, at about verse number 6, 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1, verse number 6. And here's what he says. Seeing that it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. Every now and again, somebody's going to want to try to trouble you, slander you, slam you. And to you that are troubled, rest with us when the Lord shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. When's it going to happen? When he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all of them that believe because of our testimony among you was believed in that day. I want to say to you that if you will, that we ought to let our voice be heard unto God, thanking him for how good he's been, for the grace of God, the mercy of God, for salvation that it's free, that it's for everyone that'll receive it, and it's for everlasting to those that do. We ought to be thinking about when you and I are looking that the counsel of the wicked's always been in secret. They've always tried to hide and always tried to pull their devilment, you know, and they don't really want anybody to know about it till it's all out there in the open and they can't hide it anymore. I guarantee you right now we live in a world that's like Judas Iscariot. They like to do all the dirt they can in the absence of the congregation. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, you'll find is that the wicked are always devious. And this Bible said they're sharpening up their tongue. And the reason why is because over there in the book of Psalms, chapter number 25, he said a false witness is like a moth, it's like a sword, it's like a sharp arrow. You know, words mean something, don't they? And let me tell you right now, sometimes they're bitter words and sometimes they're better. But make no mistake about it that whenever you begin to look into this Bible, you'll find that words can become a deadly weapon. They use it to slander. If you ever have somebody, you know, you got into a confrontation with, all right, now it's all over with, but days later, it's still eating on you. Words mean something. As a result of that, you know, you'll find out is that when they blaspheme the holy name by which that we believe, when they slander the people of God and the word of the Lord, I got to tell you something, is that you're going to find out that what this crowd is, they feel like they've got absolutely nothing to lose when they slander the people of God. Now, in the day and hour that we're living in, it's not hard to be able to find somebody somewhere that claims the name of the Lord but remains the same in their sin. I got to say to you over in the book of Psalms, chapter number 52, and you haven't got to turn there, but the Bible said that their words are like a razor. That'll cut you, buddy. And not only that, but you're going to find out the sword is in their lips. And the Bible said they're going to shoot at you in secret. I got to say to you, the reason why they do that, because it torments the mind. Do you realize at all that whenever your mind's tormented, when you get to where that your mind is perplexed, when your mind's overloaded, when your mind is tormented, it'll get you where you can't concentrate on the word of the Lord and what God said, that the goodness of God should lead you to repentance. You know, in this lesson that we're looking at, you'll find that when your mind is messed up and you can't concentrate on the word of God, you can't concentrate on the work of God, and you cannot concentrate on being able to worship God, if so being that you're shaken by what the world and their sharp razor-like tongues are saying. In the lesson, you'll find out, the Bible said over in the book of Psalms, chapter 64, and I'll give you a moment if you're back there in the text, but in verse number 3, he said, who whet their tongue like a sword. They bend their bows to shoot their arrows, even bitter words. And I want to tell you something right now. Bitter words are like arrows that are sharp, like arrows that are flying, like arrows that are sticking in you. And I want to tell you, they encourage themselves, the Bible said in verse 5 of our text, in an evil manner. They plot, they plan, they connive, they do what they can to put each other on the back and to pat each other on the back and to put everybody else that they don't like in a grave. In this lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you, while you turn to the book of 1 Kings, and we'll not be here long, but look over there in 1 Kings, and the Bible says in chapter number 22, if I've gotten it right, yes, in the book of 1 Kings in chapter number 22, now, I want to say to you that, if you will, that man on the inside is a depraved creature. I am, you are, and everybody else ever has been. When you get saved by the grace of God, not because you deserved it or bargained with God, but because of his marvelous grace, and God granted repentance and faith that we might be born again into the family of God. I want to say to you that God's in control. He always has been. He is tonight. He will be tomorrow. In the lesson that we're looking at, the Bible says, is that concerning the control of God, that there was a man by the name of Ahab who was the king of Israel. Remember that? One day he called a man by the name of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. And he said, do you not know? And he made a big dinner for him, you know. And he said, you know, Ramoth Gilead really belongs to us. And I wonder if you'd yoke up with me and we'll see if we can't be able to take it back. We're in 1 Kings chapter number 22, if I said it right. 1 Kings chapter number 22. Well, Ahab, as a result of that, here he is, and you can read about it in that chapter. And Ahab not only is trying to butter up Jehoshaphat, but Jehoshaphat, look in verse 5 of that chapter, Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. And boy, let me tell you right now is, they gathered all the prophets of Israel they could gather together. And of course, you know, many of them were prophets of Baal, and Ahab liked them because that's exactly what he wanted to hear. And as a result of that, they were telling him to go up and prosper and so forth and on. Well, Jehoshaphat had heard some Bible preaching in days gone by, namely by a fellow by the name of Micaiah. And he says, have you got anybody here that knows the Lord? How many times you ever went somewhere and heard a preacher that was deader than 10 o'clock and you doubted even if he even knew the Lord? I mean, if he knows the God, he's hiding. But isn't it good to be able to find somebody that finally does? And the Bible said that whenever he asked him that and said, have you got anybody that knows the Lord that we can inquire of? And Ahab told him, said, well, there's one man, his name's Micaiah, but I hate him because he never preaches good concerning me. No wonder he didn't like him. I got to say to you that, if you will, please, is that finally, when Micaiah came on, they was trying to go ahead and program him what he could say and what he couldn't say, but he didn't pay any attention. He just went ahead and said what he believed God wanted him to say. And this Bible said that whenever you begin to look at that, begin to preach about it, begin to preach about the demise of Israel, not having a leader and being scattered in the battle. which means that Ahab knows that means he's minus the leader. He's the leader. He's going to be dead. And he said, didn't I tell you that he was not going to prophesy good concerning me? Now, I'm going to tell you, Ahab is like the average Baptist. He wants it complimentary. He wants it consoling. He wants it comforting, all to him. And the Bible said there, that of course you'd realize and know that he's a pretty sharp cookie. He tells Jehoshaphat, says, listen, I'm not going to go ahead and steal all the thunder and the glory. I mean, me being the king of Israel, I'm just going out there incognito, as it were, and we're going to let you wear the kingly robes and all that business there. And the Bible said that Jehoshaphat, no doubt being suckered into that, he goes out there into battle. Of course, the Syrian and the leader had said, go against nobody except their king. I want you to kill him. And as they got after there, they began to see that kingly robe, and they took in after Jehoshaphat, but he began to scream and cry out. You know, the devil gets after you bad enough, it'll make you cry out a little bit. And as a result of that, you'll find out is that Syria recognized, hey, that's not Ahab. And they backed off from it, and they said, now, can you imagine how many thousands upon thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of Judah's army and Israel's army that's out there on the battlefield? And there's Ahab that's incognito, he's hiding. And the Bible says that in verse number 34, the Bible said, and a certain man drew a bow at venture. You see that word venture? Everybody already knows, if you've been here for many years or any length of time, unless you just missed it. But here's what the word venture means when you look it up. And it comes from a Hebrew word. And it means completeness. So this certain man drew a bow at venture. That means he drew that bow back as far as it would go in completeness. And then that word also means prosperity. He drawed that bow back in completeness, and there were so many Jews that are out there, he's knowing he's got to hit one of them. That's what he's thinking about. And then, it not only that, but it means innocence. God used that word to tell me that guy didn't have any clue where he was shooting and who he was shooting at. He just knew that, buddy, that many Israelites and people from Judah, that many Jews that are out there, it's surely going to hit one of them. Now, do you realize at all that you could take out the word venture and you could put the word completeness there in that place? And it still wouldn't be lying. It'd just be limited. Because you see, the word completeness doesn't mean prosperity and doesn't mean innocence. So the best word's already there, friend. I looked in the NIV. You know, that's the song they wrote. That's the song they wrote about. NIVKEYMOUSE. I looked at it, and it said the same thing the New American Standard said. Said he drew a bow back at random. I don't even know if one of those Jews was named Random or not. Random, where you at, buddy? No, that's not what he meant. And so I'm just saying to you that, if you will, is that once again, the old King James Bible, you can't rise above what God has said and God has given us in that right there. Now watch this here. Whenever he drew it back, a certain man drew a bow at venture, and he smote the king of Israel between the joints of the harness. And wherefore he said unto the driver of his chariot, turn thine hand and carry me out of the host, for I'm wounded. Now I want to tell you something. I hope this never happens to you. I hope all you ever feel about God is not the sharpness of his arrow, but maybe the conviction of your heart when God's knocking upon your heart's door. I hope you feel that. But as far as God's arrow shooting at you, if he ever has to shoot at you, he won't miss. I'm sure that guy there, I'm sure that Ahab got to thinking somebody somewhere has told on me. Yeah, God knows all about you, Ahab. And let me say to you that if you will, please, that in this Bible lesson is that you're going to find out that back in our text that we could have confidence in the Lord because our God is righteous. And as a result of it, we can trust the Lord with all of our heart, with all our soul, all our might, and all our mind. We can declare his wondrous works to others that are around, and you can be glad in the Lord. Now, I got to tell you right now is that it's great. It's just good to be able to go into the, well, the psalmist David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And I don't know about you, but every now and again, I like to be able to lift my voice and to be able to let God and praise God for the fact that I got a place to go to church. Yeah, I got a place, people to go to church with. That we got children, that we've got grandchildren, that God, in spite of all that's ever happened and come in all these years, God's been good to us. God's been good to us. One of these days, it's going to come time for us to be finished, be done, and to leave the scene. And I got to tell you right now, I hope and trust and pray that you and I both can hear God say, like they sing about every now and again, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'm going to make you ruler over many. I guarantee you it'll be worth every mile of the trip. See, when we get there on the other side. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed, and as we're praying and getting ready to depart from here on this very evening, Brother Conrad dismisses us.